Hey, everybody. Welcome to Profoundly Pointless. My name is Nick. Coming up on this episode, we're going to do some magic and then discuss the top five kinds of liquor.
It's possible. You can really do everything. It's like, hey, we want to make this whole cruise ship disappear. Yeah, we can do it. Some people in Asia, a lot, they think magicians have powers and stuff like this. I do like a couple of mentalism stuff. And when people are like, oh, so can you really like read minds? I'm like, no, it's impossible. It's a trick. It's just for entertainment. I don't have magic power.
Well, magicians kind of steal each other's tricks?
All the time.
Yeah. Oh, God. I've actually done a couple of those shots where somebody lit themselves on fire. Never gets old. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us. If you get a chance, like, download, subscribe, share. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. So I think when it comes to magic, everybody wants to know exactly how they're doing these tricks. Our first guest can give us a little bit of a hint as to how all of these magic tricks are really being done. But it can also give us this fascinating perspective about what really goes on behind the scenes. He did his first magic trick at 7 years old and has been touring the world performing at magic shows all over for nearly the last 20 years. This is Titu. So how did you get into magic?
Well, I started with a magic kit when I was 7 years old.
What was it about it that kind of drew you in?
So I'm from France, obviously, and so it was very popular at the time in France. We have a lot of like TV show about magic and stuff, and I saw a TV commercial with a magic set, and it was around Christmas time, so I asked my parents, oh, I would like to have that, and then I got it, and then I never stopped from there.
Were you any good at the beginning, or were you bad?
No, I was terrible. I mean, you know, it's like, I was a kid, so I wasn't very patient, so you know, you learn something very quick and right away you show it to your parents. Or I have two sisters. So I was showing to my sisters or my parents right away. It's like, oh, we saw that. Oh, we saw that. Because I was not prepared at all. I was just reading the instruction very quick and like try right away to show it to people. So it was not very good.
So how did you become a professional? Like walk me through the journey up the ranks, so to speak.
Obviously, at first, when you're a kid and you grow up, you don't really think of magic as a job because you don't even realize there's people making a living out of it except like famous people like Copperfield and stuff like that. And it happens like that. So after high school, I pretty much did nothing except shows. I was manager of a magic shop actually in Paris for a year. And then from that magic shop, it's cool because I got a lot of people were calling the shop looking for magician for events. So, of course, me, I was getting all of them. I was like, sure, I'll find your magician. And I was putting myself on it. So I got a lot of contact like this. And also a lot of professional magicians were coming to the shop. And that's why I met a lot of them. The cool thing about I can read all the book about magic all day long without buying them because they're all at the shop. I have access to all the new tricks that come on the market as well for free. And then after a year, I was getting way more busy after a year, getting some gigs. And I was like, well, I don't want to be in the store all day. Became a professional magician like that.
What do you remember from that first kind of big show that you did? However you want to define big show, what do you remember about it?
Well, it wasn't a prestigious place in Paris. It's called the Paradis Latin. So it's a very famous cabaret in Paris. They rented the place, the company rented the place for the event, but it's very, very famous cabaret in Paris. So it's kind of funny. That's one of the, because a lot of people like dream to perform there, but actually me, it's one of the first places I ever performed, which is actually funny. I was very, very cool. I was excited and nervous at the same time. It was very cool.
Do you invent the tricks yourself?
So this kind of stuff that I invented myself, you know, magic is like, you learn a lot of techniques and after you create your own pretty much routines with all the techniques put together. So you can pretty much create it whatever you want because it's just some technique that you put back to back and to make a trick. So you can improvise or invent tricks all the time. After you, sometimes you think you came out with an idea and you look in a book and you find out that it exists already, because it's easy to find something and be like, oh yeah, that's cool. You realize like someone else found the same thing 50 years ago. You can't really put a copyright on a magic trick. So for example, if like I create something, but you change a little tiny thing on it, it's not the same thing. So you can't really say, oh, that's my trick, you know. In a business, it's a bit like this. It's a bit of war between magician about that, because it's like, oh, I invented this. So like, yeah, but I do it this way. So it's totally different. It's like, oh yeah, but me, I put my pinky there and you put your pinky there, and this is black and mine is blue. And
well, magicians kind of steal each other's tricks?
All the time. All the time. But especially now with the new generation with the internet, like you just need a guy that posts a TV show online and everybody's going to try to do it or copy it. And so it's very, very easy. Like even, which is very surprising, now with like America's Got Talent and they have it in every countries, like you have some people that steal the whole act they saw on America's Got Talent, and they're going to do exactly the thing for exactly word for word with exactly the same thing on another TV show on the other side of the world. In East Europe and Asia, like they steal like everything. And that's totally, it's kind of flattering too. Like, oh, that guy stole my act. That must be doing something good. If everybody wants to steal what I'm doing, it must be a good thing. But at the same time, it sucks. But it must be a good thing. Yeah.
What? How do you do most of your tricks in a broad sense? Like, is it sleight of hand? Are you fooling people, or how are you doing
them? So me, I do two different things. So most of the time what I do, what I'm doing actually right now, I'm in Miami, I do comedy magic. So it's a lot of jokes and a lot of, it's like sleight of hand, but it's a stand-up comedy show with magic. And so that's what I do the most. That's what I tour the world pretty much all the time with. And I also do like grand illusion stuff. So I tour with a show called Masters of Illusion. I do the TV show as well. And I do like big things, like big props, like big boxes with like dancers and smoke and mirror and all that stuff.
Now, do people ever believe it's real magic?
Well, it's yes and no. Like, I don't pretend that I do have power. I always joke around like I don't have power and stuff like this. But it's funny, for example, I do a couple cruise ship, and on a cruise ship you have a lot of different demographic. You have people from everywhere in the world. And a lot of people come like and say like they think I have real magic, but they think magician, like a lot of people in India, they think magician are like legit, you know, like, oh yeah, you have magic power, stuff like this. Yeah. Like I remember actually once I went to India, like it was a long time ago, but the first time I went to India, like we got stopped at the border with a friend of mine to do a show. And we were going to do a show and we told them we were a magician, and they look at us like we were like gurus with like power. They didn't even, when they asked where we was in a suitcase, like, oh, it's our magic prop for the shows. The guy at the border patrol didn't even want to open our bag because they didn't want to touch our magic stuff. We could have carried everything we wanted in the country, drugs or illegal stuff. They were like, oh, it's magic stuff. We can't even, no, it's okay. You guys can go. We're not going to touch it. It was ridiculous. It was so funny. We were like, oh, now every time you go to India, if you want to bring drugs, you can tell it's magic stuff. And no one's going to question you. Yeah, that was funny. But yeah, some people in Asia a lot, they think magicians have powers and stuff like this. But I never pretend. When people was like, I do like a couple of mentalism stuff. And when people are like, oh, so can you really like read minds? I'm like, no, it's impossible. It's a trick. It's just for entertainment. I don't have magic power. I don't pretend anything. But what I hate, like a lot of magicians play the fact like, oh yeah, yeah, I can read minds. And so I'm like, yeah, stop trying to sell bullshit to people.
I guess, how do you do the tricks?
Well, I do it with a secret that no one knows. That's how it works, I guess. like I said, there's millions of techniques that we use to make things happen. Obviously, technology involved, and especially now with like the time we live in, it's pretty much you have access to everything, so you can pretty much do everything because you have the video, you have the technology to do anything. So it's like the possibilities are like endless. You know, you can really do anything now. If you have budget, you can really, really do anything. If tomorrow a client says, "Hey, I have a new car coming. Can you like do the press conference and make appear the car and fly in the air?" I was like, "Well, yeah, we can do it. It's important. Like, no, we can do everything. Just gonna cost a lot of money and a lot of technical aspect, but it's possible. You can really do everything." It's like, "Hey, we won't make this whole cruise ship disappear. Yeah, we can do it. I mean, it's gonna cost millions of dollars, but yeah, we can do it."
Would people, without revealing kind of the secrets, would people be surprised at the complexity, or would they be surprised at how simple it is?
Actually, they would be surprised how simple it is. It's people, they always think way too complicated when they try to say, they tell me like, "Oh, I think I know how you did this. You did this and probably this and probably this." And in my head, I'm like, "No, it's 10 times, 100 times way simpler than that." But because of the little details they have no idea about, they're never going to come to that direction. But so I love, actually, it's one of my favorite to learn, to listen to people try to figure out or tell me what they think about how I did it. I love it because I'm like, it's so cool because sometimes you're like, "Oh, that's interesting. Actually, that would be like a very good idea to use that for that, you know." But most of it, 90% of the time, 95% of the time, they're way far from the reality. And it's most of the time way more simple than what they think.
Have you ever had somebody like pick it exactly in front of you? Like, "I know how you did that. You did it like this."
Yeah, it happened. It happened. And there's also people that really knows and how it works because someone knows magic. They know they've been doing magic and they just want to brag the fact that they know how you did it. So you're not smarter than them.
What's the hardest kind of magic trick in a general sense? Like card tricks, illusions, mental stuff?
Well, like manipulation, like stage manipulation, it's very hard. It's very, very, very hard. I would say it's probably the one who takes the most time of practice for the smallest reward, because I feel like, I mean, it's cool to watch, but just because people don't know the difficulty behind it. Because, I mean, you can do millions of card tricks, it's still going to be a card trick. People are going to remember, "Oh, we had a good time." They're not going to, in 2 weeks, they're not going to remember exactly what trick you did.
Like, do you make a pretty good living?
I make a very good living with magic. Like, so I do TV shows. I do my own show, obviously, but I do TV shows. I consult for other magicians. I offer TV shows as well. I enjoy consulting and do and create magic for the magician. And they're going to get the glory with something I created, but I don't care. I'm not be like, "Oh, no, I created this. The whole world needs to know." I'm like, no, I like the being behind the scene and create for the people, and they get the reward. They get the, and I'm fine with that. And it's funny because actually people who create the magic as consulting usually makes way more money than performers, way more money. Like the budget for consulting for a big, big TV show about magic, like when it's like a TV series for like David Blaine or like stuff like this, or Criss Angel, it's like $1 million budget TV shows. So it's like when you create magic for those TV shows, it's like way more money than a single performance on a theater, you know?
What do you think is the best magic trick you've ever done or ever seen?
Well, it's different because, like, for example, there's some shows that I saw, and I know how it works, but I'm still so amazed by it. And even if I know how it works, like I go see David Copperfield show, it's incredible. I know how everything works. There's nothing in the show that I'm like, "How is that possible?" Because I've been in the magic world for a long time. I know a lot of people, and you know, I've been working around the best magician in the world for a long time now. So I know pretty much every possibility that we can do. So I see a show, I'm like, I'm amazed by the quality of it, but there's not really a trick that fools me, but it's still amazing. And I remember the first time I went to Las Vegas, it was 10 years ago, I was still living in France. That's funny, I did that. But the first time I went to Las Vegas, I saw Lenz Burton show, and I knew how everything works, but for me it was like so theatrical and so amazing, and so the scenery and the costume and the the acting on stage and the dancers, everything was so perfect. I was like, oh my God, that's the best show I've ever seen. So I don't know if I had to pick the best thing I would ever seen in magic, I would say, well, it's very specific. David Copperfield, a couple of years, 15 years ago, did a TV special, and he does a trick. You can Google it. You'll find it on YouTube. It's called the Voyeur. It's like a trick where you make appear two girls and disappear, and they reappear on the other side. But you feel like it's CGI when you see it. It's like how those girls can, like, they disappear like so fast. You feel like the image. Of course, you see that on a screen, so you feel like it's CGI. That's so fast it is, and then they reappear on the other side, and it's not twins, it's not doubles, it's the same girls, and you're like, holy shit, how fast is that? And it looks so natural, it looks so perfect. It doesn't look like, it looks like effortless. You just walk on stage, those girls, you just like toss a cloth, and those girls like vanish, like they got disintegrated, and it's like reappear on the other side, like, in a moment. It's very, very cool.
Are there any tricks, though, that you'll look at another magician and not know how they're doing it?
Yes, there's some stuff, like, I know the principle, but sometimes I'm like, how? And I see because of course, when you know all the secret about magic, you think differently than someone who doesn't do magic. So there's some stuff that fools me and be like, oh, how did he kind of, yeah, because I thought he would use that, but no, because it's impossible, because the ceiling is way too small for that, so it's impossible. Or so yeah, so there's some stuff like I watch, of course, and I'm like, oh. But I love close-up magic, because that's probably what fools me the most, because now there's so much technique that I used to do when I was younger, like the close-up magic, but I don't really do close-up magic anymore. So now there's some kids that are like 15 years old that I see in magic convention, and they do like incredible stuff, and I'm like, wow. Like, I wasn't that talented when I was 15, that's for sure. But yeah, there's so much like smaller stuff, I would say, that fools me very bad.
What is your favorite movie about a magician?
I would say The Prestige.
That's the one
with Christian Bale and
Hugh Jackman, right?
Hugh Jackman, yeah, here we go.
That one's pretty good.
Yeah, that was very good. Well, I love this because I thought it was very well thought. But I like, in the same time, The Illusionist came out. Like, they came out, I think they were in the movie theater at the same time. But The Illusionist is very cool because, the storyline sucks, but they talk about more like magic stuff that really existed. About a story about magic that are like really real. So they talk about the story about magic, so about stuff that like are actually true, which is cool when you know about it. It's like, oh yeah, that's. But then I thought the Prestige was very well thought. At the end, I got fooled. Like when we discovered like they are twins, I got fooled very badly. So I was like, yeah, that's good.
That's pretty much all the questions I had, man. What's coming up for you? What's next? If people want to check you out.
Well, I'm right now I'm on 4 days cruise in Miami to the Bahamas. Then I go to Mexico for 4 or 5 days. Like in 10 days, I go to Mexico for 5 days. And then after, I'm going to Lake Tahoe in a theater for 5 weeks from like November 26th to December 31st.
Does that track?
And then after, at the beginning of the show, at the beginning of the year, I do a TV show with Masters of Illusion. We shoot a seventh season that's going to air in the summer next year. And then in February, for like 7 weeks, I go on tour around the country with them as well.
If somebody listens to this, they want to become a magician, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would suggest to find a magic shop in their town because you can always check online and see like YouTube video, but I think like you learn way better to like meet some magician or stuff like that. Like I started with books and VHS at the time, like now we have DVDs then, and getting old as well, but books are amazing. And I think books is cool because the problem with DVDs or video on YouTube, it's like now, and we all did it. I did the same when I was younger. It's like you see a magician doing his presentation about a trick that you learn in a video, but you're going to do exactly the same presentation that you see because that's automatic. Like you see something, you want to do the same, so you copy it. But when you read an effect on the book and a technique on the book, all the presentation and all the way to like demonstrate the tricks, it comes from your head and your imagination because you can't, when you read it, you just imagine. It's a good icebreaker for a lot of shy kids because, you know, they practice magic a lot in their room and stuff like this, but after they can show it to people. So it's a good icebreaker because they do something that not everybody does.
I want to thank T2 so much for joining us. If you want to connect with him, we have linked to him on our social media accounts. We're Profoundly Pointless on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I think anytime you're talking about magic, you really have to see some of the tricks. He's posted some of those tricks on his social media accounts and on his website. They're really cool to check out, and he really is. You can really tell that he's a great performer. So if you want to check out some of his shows, we also have links to that on the RSS feed that's on this podcast.
Okay, so now let's go ahead and give John Show a call.
Hello.
When's the last time you cleared your computer history?
You need to be more specific. Personal computer, work computer?
Well, let's go personal and then go work.
I can't remember the last time I cleared my personal computer.
You're more likely to look at stuff you shouldn't be looking at work?
No, I just, no one else uses my computer here at my house. I'm the only person who uses it, so I don't have to worry about anybody seeing anything in any kind of search engine or anything like that.
How do you know that, though? I mean, how do you know that people aren't checking up on you, seeing all the stuff you've been looking at?
Because I'm pretty sure my wife would rather have her fingers cut off than to use what she calls the worst computer known to man. It aids to my benefit, because then she doesn't have the exact number of porn sites I visit a day. So,
well, maybe your computer doesn't work that well because you don't clear the history.
That could be it. I do believe in clearing the history. It's just on my personal computer. I mean, I use it. I don't use it that often, and when I do, there's only certain websites I go to.
You're not bookmarking a porn site, are you?
No, I'm not that brave. I mean, I might bookmark it, but I call it like John's baseball card collection website or something.
It's way too obvious. If you name it something that like, why would they be looking like, oh, that definitely isn't porn. You might as well just put definitely not porn on the bookmark.
I think I should do that. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go after we're off, done recording here. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to change every one of my bookmarks to something like that. Like, not porn, definitely not porn. If you click on this, you're definitely not going to a porn website.
No way, this is porn. How often are you clearing your history at work?
So that's different, unfortunately, where I work, and maybe this is everywhere, we have the slowest computer system known to man. So I legitimately, if I'm on it for a full day, just doing work stuff, which in the news, you're researching things, you're looking up things, by after an 8-hour shift or whatever you want to call it, an 8-hour day, the computer will be running so slow. Like, I have to clear the history. I have to take things off my hard drive, videos and pictures, just because it will run so damn slow. And no, I can tell you I am not surfing porn sites at work, thank God.
Anymore.
At least not at this company.
Here's my other question for you. If you say something that you think is going to be funny, do you wait for a laugh and look at people, or do you just kind of move on?
Ooh, that's such a good question. Can I say I do both, or is that not a good answer?
Let's say you think it's going to be at least a 5 out of 10 funny, if not higher. Are you going to, like, say the thing you think is going to be funny and then wait?
I'm going to say what I think is funny, and then I'll wait, because I'll try to process, like, why aren't people finding this funny? Why are they just sitting there, you know, why do they think I'm the dumb one when I think they're the dumb ones for not having a funny reaction?
Do you make eye contact?
Probably. I would think I would. To be honest, I can't remember the last time I was that awkward like that.
I can think of all the time, basically.
Well, you don't count, all right?
In general, when you're speaking to other people, do you go light on the eye contact, medium on the eye contact, heavy on the eye contact?
Oh no, I'm pretty heavy. I'm, you know, man or woman, if it's the first time I meet you, it's a handshake and it's eye contact, and if you don't return it, you know, like the handshake has to be a good grip and the eyes have to, you know, I automatically lose 6 percentage points of respect for you if it's a weak handshake and or like you're looking down or looking to the side or up or, you know, anywhere other than eye contact.
Yeah, but I mean during the course of like a conversation with somebody you know, are you still going heavy eye contact?
Oh, I mean if it's one of my friends, I mean I don't expect anyone to really pay attention to me and I don't think they would expect me to pay attention to them. So no, I'm not too worried about it if it's like a friend or if I'm in a social setting. But if it's like a workplace setting or something like that, then I would expect pretty heavy eye contact.
I would actually say that people are probably only listening to 10% of anything anyone has to say.
Well, so is that just because of our dependence on, you know, our phones and computers, or is that just what you think regardless?
I would say that's what I think regardless. I would say that in my interactions with my wife, I know what she's going to say after about the first 4 words, so I can tune out for the rest. Like, okay, I know what you're about to tell me. I got it. And then I kind of like, all right, I start thinking ahead. And I start wondering what else is going on. I only need to hear 1 sentence out of every paragraph.
I you know, I don't know how your wife takes that. My wife does the same thing to me because I, you know, you've called me out several times on this podcast, but I can ramble or I can be long-winded, and my wife will just shut that shit straight down.
I don't think it's that you're rambling or long-winded. I don't think you form coherent thoughts.
that could be it. I'm usually pretty coked up by the time I'm doing this recording.
Not that you're not a smart guy. I just think that like you've got so many thoughts at one time. It's kind of like you're at a buffet and you start to get one side dish, but then move into the next side dish before you finish serving the plate.
Well, I mean, listen, have you ever been to a buffet?
No.
Of course you have. You just can't, you know, you got to keep, you know, it's like an old football saying, you know, ass down, head up kind of thing. Like I'm always, my head's always looking at the buffet. I'm always thinking about what's next.
Okay. Speaking of what's next, what do you got for your segment?
So listen, so last episode we had on a pretty badass drummer, Gene Hoagland.
That's not how you say his name.
Well, that's how I perceived it.
Well, say it again.
Hoagland.
Yeah, it's closer. It's like Hoagland. H-O and then G-L-A-N.
I literally just said that.
Well, then Hoagland. Maybe you have a lisp.
Whatever. You're such a dick. Maybe I do have a speech impediment. Anyways. You know, we posted on social media, blah, 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 the episodes. It comes to find out that one of our former co-workers apparently got kicked out of a strip club. She was partying with Gene. They got kicked out of the strip club because he puked and did some other things in the strip club. So they kicked them both out, which is just insane to me.
Wait, now what? Tell this story. Okay, what?
So a former coworker of ours.
Just say what their name rhymes with.
Well, I can tell her first name's Lisa. No, last name starts with an M.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Okay.
And she posted on my Instagram account after I'd post the podcast, whatever, basically a little story that, you know, she was partying with Gene one night at a strip club, and he had gotten so drunk he started throwing up everywhere on the floor.
Nice.
And he was trashed and whatnot, so they kicked them both out of the strip club.
Why'd she get kicked out of the strip club?
Probably because she was with him. And if anyone knows Lisa, listen – love you, Lisa, but she can probably get a little rowdy herself, so I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, she was instigating some things.
No, actually, I would probably side with him on it was definitely her fault.
I mean, Gene seemed like a pretty chill guy, so I can't imagine him getting kicked out of anywhere.
Yeah, he's the nicest man ever.
Anyway, so that's, you know, that one's the social media, you know, a prize for the week. I mean, anytime that you have a personal story with one of our guests, it's awesome. Just let us know. I mean, fuck, we post on every social media site known to man.
No, we don't, actually. We don't post on Reddit, 4chan, Pinterest.
Or TikTok.
I don't know what that is, and I don't have any desire to know what that is.
I would do TikTok with you. We could just do little videos of us dancing together.
Hard pass. Go ahead.
All right. So we're going to start off the questions here. I'm curious to know, are you a snowblower kind of guy, or are you going to get out there and shovel?
You shovel that stuff. There's nothing wrong with a little manual fucking effort.
So, for instance, this will be dated, but we're supposed to get our first big snow event tomorrow. 6 to 12 inches of snow, they're saying. Whatever. One of my neighbors was outside tonight for a good 45 minutes making sure his snowblower was in pristine shape. I guarantee you, given me, 265 pounds of me, hasn't done cardio in a good 3 weeks, I will get my driveway cleared off faster with a shovel than he will with a snowblower.
Well, what does your neighbor look like? I mean, if he's working on a snowblower for 45 minutes, does he have some sort of mental impairment? I feel like he probably does.
No, he doesn't, actually. He's, he's a good guy.
How much does he bench? How much do you think he benches?
I mean, he's not a very big guy. I mean, I'm probably going to say 150.
Okay. My problem with it, I mean, I would go, look, I think that you got to go out there and once a season, you got to shovel it yourself, right? And then after you do that, you can realize, I don't have to do this and then get the snowblower. But you got to do it at least once a season. I don't want to hear it from you. You hire somebody to mow your lawn.
True story, though, I canceled that in the middle of the summer.
Nice. Did you crush that kid's soul? Did he cry?
No, it's actually a I don't know what happened to them, to be honest. They just stopped coming.
So you didn't cancel it. So you didn't cancel it. They stopped showing up.
They just stopped showing up.
Okay, so don't try to take credit for doing it. They just didn't show up. You didn't cancel it.
Yeah, well, I mean, sure, I didn't cancel. They didn't show up, so it's canceled one way or the other.
Did you pay him? Did you pay him ahead of time? Weren't they sick or something? Maybe. Are they alive?
I have no idea. Like, I want to pay them. Like, I've tried contacting them. I showed up at their house, like,
that's weird,
to try to see what was going on.
Why did you showed up at their house?
Well, they live right around the block. Like, that was part of the, you know, just trying to help out, a local company. And it had been like a month and I hadn't been able to contact them. So I'm like, you know what? I'll just go over and, you know, maybe, who knows?
What?
Maybe the worst, right? I wanted to pay them.
Were they still doing the work?
No, but I had owed them, like, from the summer.
Oh, okay.
Because they only collect, like, twice a summer.
Okay, all right. This is making a little bit more sense here. Were they there? Like, did they answer the door? What happened?
No, they didn't answer the door.
Cars in the driveway?
This was the middle of July, so...
Cars in the driveway?
There was one car in the driveway.
Where was it parked in the driveway? Was it, like, parked to the side of the driveway? Like, they tried to back another car out, and they had to move that car? So maybe that car was, like, just permanently there? Or did it look like that car was being driven on a regular basis, and they were avoiding you?
Listen, no, nobody cares. We're moving on.
I kind of want to know. I want to know what's going on with the lawn mowing company.
I have no idea. If anyone knows,
you showed up at their fucking house. That's ridiculous to me.
I just wanted to – first off, I wanted to make sure that they were okay.
Did you walk or did you drive?
I walked.
were you sweating when you got back?
I might have been. It was a hot day out, okay?
What time of day did you go there?
Jesus Christ.
What time of day?
Nobody cares at all about this story.
Okay, then tell me what time of day did you went.
It was probably between 6 and 7 at night.
Okay. Weekday or weekend?
It was a weekday. I had my daughter in a stroller. And I was just, it was part of my walk route that day.
Okay. It's a legitimate time to check. I feel like that's appropriate.
Thank you for your approval.
Well, if you went on like a Saturday or a Sunday, then they might be out doing something. Or if you went during the middle of the afternoon, then they might not be there. Have you been back since? Should check it out.
No, because I have tried at least a dozen times over the course of however many months it's been.
That's two for people listening.
No.
John Shaw dozen is 1 to 2 times.
August, September, October, at least 4 months of me trying to get a hold of them.
That's 3 months, by the way.
No, it's...
August, September, October is 3 months.
I included November.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, that's bullshit because we're taping this. It's like November 10th. Don't Jesus include Christ. The whole month when we're a third of the way through it.
Anyways, you know who you are. If you listen to this podcast and you just didn't want to talk to me anymore, you could have just at least told me that you were not going to, you know, come over anymore.
I'm sorry about that, man. You sound pretty upset.
Well, that was my social interaction for the week, so whatever.
All right, moving on.
Are you the kind of person, do you need an alarm clock to wake up, or are you going to wake up automatically at the same time every morning?
After 7, I'm gonna wake up automatically. 7 o'clock, I'll pop up out of there. But if I'm going earlier than that, then I like to have an alarm.
Okay.
How about you?
All right. That's why you never work the morning shift, apparently.
I did work the morning shift for 6 years, getting up at 2:30 in the morning. It's brutal.
Oh, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo.
That's pretty tough. I feel like my body is still recovering 8 years later.
Well, yeah. Yep, that's probably the truth.
Let me tell you who doesn't use an alarm clock. People who don't have jobs.
Or have kids, one of the two.
Yeah, well, you don't need an alarm clock with kids. You're just never actually asleep. All right, let's
fucking
go.
Fucking kids, man.
Little bastard.
And this one is just a random weird question, so follow me here. But you either ride next to Santa in a sleigh, or you can ride on Rudolph.
Oh, next to Santa. You're going to – man, think about this, right? You're flying all over the fucking world. You know how much crap Rudolph is probably getting hit with up there? Like the wind chill factor on Rudolph on the sleigh? That would be freezing if you were up there. You'd much rather ride next to Santa.
I mean, I'm going to pick Rudolph myself, but...
That sleigh's not going anywhere.
What? That's mean, and I've lost a quarter of a pound since August. Thank you very much.
The wind resistance is going to be terrible. Who put this brick-shaped pear in the front? cut down on that. What kind of... I feel like... Look, this doesn't have anything to do with your physical size. Well, it does. But I feel like if you had a motorcycle that was getting like 50 miles a gallon, and they put you in the front 50 miles to a gallon, and then you rode it, it would get like 35.
You know what? I wasn't going to tell this story, but now I'm going to waste 2 minutes of your time.
Okay, I'll just edit it out.
That's fine. So I got one of these puffy jackets. Do you know what those are?
You are not the guy. You do not have the body type for a puffy jacket. You should. Who sold that to you? That person should be fucking fired right now.
Well, first off, my wife and I were in Costco. My wife was like, "You want a puffy jacket?" And I'm like, sure, why not? Never had one before. They were on sale.
What do you mean? This doesn't make any sense. You don't. That's not the kind of thing that you just randomly decide to get, right? Like you don't buy a jacket unless you need it. It's not like, hey, you want a Snickers bar? Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, I needed like a lighter weight, like you know, pre super cold winter jacket.
Okay.
So. And I guess a puffy jacket is pre-winter. I don't know, but
what color jacket is it?
It's it's please teal. Tell. It's like a greenish bluish.
You're walking around at 285 in a teal puffy jacket. God,
that is... It's really not even the best part of the story. Best part of the story is, I put it in the car, we continue shopping, we're in the checkout, and there's this Asian couple next to me. And you ever just have that feeling when there's, when there's a disconnect in language?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
And you just think they're talking about you, right?
They were. 100% chance that they were.
Well,
oh, Godzilla. Godzilla behind us.
I have no way to prove this, but I'm pretty sure I heard I heard two things, Puffy and Whale.
Yeah.
And I got pretty upset, and my wife, was trying to calm me down. I was getting like heated. And because I looked over and they were laughing. And once again, I have no idea. They could have just been having a conversation. But I'm pretty sure I heard them. I heard the word Puffy and then Whale. And then as I looked over, they both looked the other way. And it was just
100% chance they were talking about you. 100% chance.
Probably. So then I got all self-conscious, and as we're going through the Costco checkout, I quickly put it through the scanner so the person could, check it and throw it right to the bottom of the cart. And I've only worn it once since.
Yeah, you shouldn't be wearing it at all.
It's actually quite comfortable. It's quite warm.
I'm sure it is. That doesn't mean that you should be wearing it.
Listen, apparently I'm a puffy whale. Puffy teal-colored whale, I guess.
Why would you get... Did you not have any options for other colors? Why would you get teal?
I liked it. It's more like a dark blue, but there is a greenish...
I need to see a picture of you in it.
I actually don't think I look that bad in it, but...
Okay, well, we'll be the judge of that. Says the man who wears booty socks.
Nothing fucking wrong with foot condoms.
All right, are you ready? Is that it? Are we all ready to our top five?
We are, and I'm expecting a good showing from you on this top five this week.
Okay, but we're just doing broad. So the top five, as I understood it, is top five kinds of alcohol. Correct?
Yeah. Just you. I don't expect you to name your best bottom shelf whiskey.
Bottom shelf is the best, by the way. Always go bottom shelf. What's your number five?
So I went with the vodka as my number five.
Okay. Yeah, I would have that a little bit higher. I put vodka as my number three. I think it's a stronger type of alcohol than that, but I don't think it's top two. But I don't think it's five either.
I'm not a vodka drinker, but from what I understand, you can mix it with anything and everything pretty much, and it's can get you fucked up real quick. So goes as my number five.
As a former bartender, I feel like I can give people this advice. There is no reason to spend good money on vodka. Vodka by itself is supposed to essentially be tasteless, so buying good vodka is stupid.
God, that's so bad. And people drink that. They probably light it on fire, then drink it.
Yeah. Oh, God. I've actually done a couple of those shots where somebody lit themselves on fire. Never gets old. Never gets old. My number five is actually blank as of right now that I look over at my list. I don't really... You know what? I'm going to go Everclear.
Oh, my God. That is terrible.
Oh, yeah. It's awful, but it's great for a party. You go to a college party where they just put a bottle of Everclear inside of a giant trash can, and everybody drinks out of that, nothing wrong there. That's a great. You ever seen somebody take a shot of Everclear?
Yes, I've done it.
Did you throw up immediately?
No, I did not actually.
You held it down.
I did. Yes, me. I've done it. Basically, every best friend that I think I have has done it and has kept it down.
Wow, I've never seen somebody keep it down.
Yeah, well,
that's impressive.
I don't recommend it, so don't do it if you're a sane person.
Okay, what's your number four?
So my number four is a combination of all kinds of liquors into one liquor, and it's jungle juice.
I thought we were just going straight types of liquor.
I mean, if you want me to amend my list, I also put a dash in case you were going to go against that.
Jungle juice, Because my number five, then I would change it to sake.
Oh, that's fucking good, though.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I'm actually going to change my number five to sake. What's your number four?
All right, well, then I'm going to go with rum.
Okay, that's legit. That's my number four as well, is rum. I feel like that's right where rum belongs. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so vodka, rum, and then at number three, let me see. I have gin, but it's – I wanted to put it higher, but I'm leaving gin at number three, I guess.
Gin to me is disgusting. It's just gross. Like, nobody wants that shit. It just tastes like somebody's ass crack.
Personally, it's my favorite, but
yeah, I bet it is. Your teal puffy coat.
Listen, don't you hate it? Don't you? Fuck. Anyways, my number two. I think number one is easy. It should be. So my number two is tequila.
Oh, so we basically have the same list, right? Because my number two is tequila, and my number one is whiskey.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Well, whiskey to me, okay, so tequila is fun because basically you just take shots of it, and it's always like, tequila is a fun drink, right? Nobody's just drinking, sipping on tequila when they're depressed.
Well, I always like it because you always have that one asshole who's like, man, I won't drink tequila because I drank it one time and I either got blacked out and did something I regret, or, you know, I got really drunk and threw up everywhere, so... Tequila to me is like one of those drinks, like if you can handle it, like you're right in my book.
No, tequila, I would put that in the list of things where that could be both the best and the worst at the same time.
Yeah, 100%.
Be on both of my lists, like worst kind of alcohols, it's in the top two. Best kind, it's in the top two. Whiskey to me is the only hard liquor that you can sit there and drink straight.
Yeah, and there's enough variations of it to where, like, if I don't want to just drink straight whiskey, I can get, like, you know, honey whiskey or another kind of infused whiskey, and it's just as good.
Okay, so this list, we basically agreed on everything except for the number five.
Yes, and I really didn't even want to put vodka on the list. I just did it because I feel like it deserved to be there.
What's in your honorable mention?
So, along with your Everclear idea, I put absinthe on my list.
I've never had that because I always just feel like by the time I'm drunk enough to think about having absinthe, that's going to be the time where I, like, hallucinate and end up God knows where.
So, it is by far maybe the worst thing I've ever had. But it only hurts going down, so it's good, and you have two shots of that, and, like, your night's pretty much, like, you're on your way to having a great night.
Here are the other kinds of alcohol. Brandy, liqueur, I don't know what that is, mead, fortified wine, vermouth, cider, and rosé is apparently considered a type of alcohol as well.
I didn't know that mead was considered a liquor. That would have been on my top five. I thought mead was just another kind of beer. Huh.
You didn't go cider? Why didn't you have cider? Don't you go to the cider mill every 25 minutes? Asshole.
You thought you were going to get me this weekend, didn't you, with your little fucking sly text message?
About the cider mill? You didn't go to the cider mill?
How many cider mills would you go to this weekend? No, Dick. I've actually haven't slept in 2 days because my daughter's teething with her fucking one-year-old molars.
Oh. Schnapps is a good bad time, though.
Yeah, schnapps is not a good time.
And let's not forget the greatest alcohol of all, Grand Marnier.
Well, that's a liqueur, I think, so...
It's disgusting. It really is disgusting. But if you are ever out at night and want to ruin your friend's time, get some shots of Grand Marnier.
Or buy them the cheapest glass of wine that you can find. I learned that from you, buddy.
Okay, that's going to go ahead and do it for this episode of the Profoundly Pointless Podcast. We want to thank you guys so much for joining us. If you get a chance, like, download, subscribe, share. We really appreciate it. We really love to hear what you guys think about the show. We have tried to use some of your feedback to get better. Obviously, that's not really working.